Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Dr. Danny Whetstone. It was presented in March of 2004. The title of the message, Act Like Men.
1 Corinthians chapter number 16. We'll read one verse and then go back and catch most of this chapter. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Look at verse number 13. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." What a challenge. Paul had dealt with just about every problem you could imagine that could come up in a New Testament church. Paul dealt with some problems that he said were in the church that should not even be named in the world, much less in the house of God. When he comes down toward the end of the book, he deals with the resurrection in chapter 15. He said, if Christ be not risen, then we're all in our sins. But if he has risen from the dead, then we have the hope that we one day will as well. And he says, because he has gotten up out of the grave, we have victory. Not going to have, we have victory in Jesus Christ. And then he closes that chapter by saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then he's going to chapter 16. He's going to deal with three major subjects. Money. And then he talks about mission. And then he talks about men. And I want to talk with you about those things this evening. As he closed out chapter 15 in verse number 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the very first work he mentions after he gives that verse is the subject of money. Now, concerning the collection of the saints, chapter 16, verse 1, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall also go with me. A preacher was preaching one day and he said, the gospel is as free as water. The gospel is as free as water. He said it so many times that finally a fellow sitting in the back stood up and said, pastor, if the gospel is so free, why do you keep passing the offering plates? He said, brother, somebody has to pay for the plumbing. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the water of life, is free everywhere it's dispensed. But I tell you, it takes a lot of plumbing to get the gospel of Christ around the world. As he's speaking to them concerning money, I would have you note, he isn't talking here specifically about the tithe, but rather the collection that would be received for the saints. Paul, passing through Macedonia, shared with them the need of the poor Christians that was in Jerusalem. And when he shared that need with them, it so moved them that the Christians in Macedonia said, we want to help. Paul said, you people are so poor, poor people call you poor. How are you going to help anyone? And they said, we want to try. And in their attempt to help the poor Christians in Jerusalem, they took their offering, and as Paul suspected, it was pathetic. Probably not even enough to pay his expenses to get it to Jerusalem. And then they said, we believe that God would give through us what he might not give to us. And if you'll give us opportunity, we will receive further offerings to meet this need. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that under great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The believers in Macedonia had given according to their own power. But they said, we believe we can move beyond our power. And the Bible says in verse 3, they were willing of themselves. One commentator said that could go this way. They made a joy of robbing themselves. This matter of grace giving to them was not drudgery nor death. But they found it a great pleasure in attempting to do something great for God. As Carey said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. And the Christians in Macedonia, though in their own power, they were incapable of reaching the heights of glory that they wished to. Yet through God, they were able to do a great deal more. Now, Paul speaks concerning the collection for the saints. And he says a number of things. I think he intended that these gifts be an act of worship. Because he told them to bring it on the first day of the week. That's when they're coming to worship the Lord. It seems that would only be reasonable that would be part of their worship service, their giving. And certainly our giving should be a part of our worship toward God. As we sing, we worship Him. We pray, we worship Him. We dispense truth, we worship Him. As we give, we should worship Him. So it should be an act of worship. So many places we travel to, and I thank the Lord that you're not average. I appreciate the way you sing. The music is just absolutely beautiful. But we go to so many places, and they'll open a songbook and sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that. Or, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. What kind of worship is that? Well, if it would be pathetic for us to approach a just and holy God to worship Him with that kind of singing, then would it not also stand true that if our giving is pathetic, it's a poor way to worship a just and holy God who has been so good to us? And so it was an act of worship. Not only was it an act of worship, but it was to be done systematically. He said, upon the first day of the week. Not haphazard, but systematically. Well, you know, I'll give to the Lord, Brother Weston, and I'll give to missions, you know, as the Lord leads. I don't believe in committing myself because I don't know what a day might bring forth. I don't know that 3 months from now I'll even have a job. I don't know that I'll have any income. And it would be presumptuous for me to say I'll be doing something a month or 2 months or a year from now when I don't know what a day will bring forth. Well, that sounds terribly spiritual, doesn't it? However, we don't talk that way to the car salesman. Could you imagine going down to buy a car? And the fellow says, if you'll pay this much down and this much a month for the rest of your life, you can drive this car. And we would say to him, you don't understand, I have a conviction. I don't believe in committing myself. But as the Lord leads, I'll stop by and give you a little something on this car from time to time. Or how about to the real estate agent? 30-year mortgage? What are you talking about, a 30-year mortgage? I don't know what a day will bring forth. I have a conviction. But as the Lord leads, I'll come by and give you a little something on this house from time to time. Well, you better like sleeping on the ground and you better enjoy walking because you're not going to buy a car nor a house. Isn't it amazing that we can commit ourselves to the bank, to the real estate agent, to the car salesman, but we're not willing to commit ourselves to God in our giving? It should be done systematically. It's also personal. He said, upon the first day of the week, let as many of you as feel led. Well, actually, he says, let every one of you. How many? Every one of you. But I can't afford it. Every one of you. But I don't feel anything. Every one of you. I pastored the Central Baptist Church in Greenville, Tennessee for 9 years. I have not pastored now for almost 19 years. I said if I ever pastor again, the first thing I want to do is have a building, a remodeling project. I want to pull the carpet up off the floors. I want to take the pads off the pews. I want to run wires all across the floor and up into the pews. I want to put little electrodes at the end of those wires, and then I want to put the covers back on. I want a little foot pedal up at the pulpit. And when I preach something that I want everyone to get, I want to be able to mash that pedal, let run current through those wires, and everyone get a jolt and say, "Oh, I felt that." Because it's so difficult to get Baptist people to do anything they don't feel. I feel that. God must be moving. We don't have to feel anything if it's in the Word of God. It's true. There was an old Southern song that said, "God said it. I believe it, and that settles it." The preacher said, "God said it. That settles it, whether you believe it or not." It should be done in a personal way. And then it should be done proportionately as God hath prospered you. And then he said, these gifts will be dealt with honestly as they are given. They could choose men from among them that they trusted to see to it that these funds would be taken care of properly. And Paul said, if it's possible, I'll go. If not, you will at least have men that you trust to take these gifts to their proper place. Vincent says, giving is the outcome of a settled principle, not of an occasional impulse. Giving is the outcome of a settled principle, not of an occasional impulse. So he talked to them about money. Then secondly, he talked to them about mission. Look in verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. Then it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Jerusalem until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. In the latter part of verse 7, Paul says, if the Lord permit. And that seems to be the tenor of his life. He wanted to do anything as long as it was the will of God. In Romans chapter 1, he tells the believers that he longed to see them. Well, Paul, why don't you get passage on a ship and go see them? Because, he said, until now, it has not been the will of God. Maybe a strong desire, but it has not been the will of God. You see, I don't think it's what we want that gets us in trouble. I think it's what we insist on having beyond the will of God that gets us in trouble. I want a brand new Jaguar, not the cat, the car. $75,000 to $80,000 would get the one I want. Am I in trouble for wanting it? I think not. But I'd be in a heap of trouble if I went out and signed the papers on one, I'll promise you that. It isn't what we want that gets us in trouble. It's what we insist on having beyond the will of God. Paul said, I want to come and be with you, but it hasn't been the will of God so far, and so I have not come. Remember, he wanted to go into Asia and preach the gospel, and God closed the door. So they tried to preach a time or two, and God shut the door. He went to bed in Troas that night, and when he went to bed, God spoke to him in the night season and said to him, not into Asia Minor, but rather into Macedonia. When he got up the next morning, he said to those that were traveling with him, we're not going as I had thought we would go. Thank God for a leader like the Apostle Paul, who is willing to stand up and say, I thought we should go left, however, that is not the direction we should go in. I know so many, and I've seen so many down through the years. Rather than saying, I didn't quite have the mind of God when we started walking, many would say, I had the mind of God and I know this is right, and would continue in that direction, right or wrong. Thank God for men like Paul who are willing to say, no, this isn't correct, so we're not going in this direction anymore, but rather, we're going into Macedonia, and the next day they'll take a ship and go over to Neapolis and walk into Philippi, and at Philippi he'll preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Lydia's going to be saved and baptized. A demon-possessed damsel's going to be saved. And then when he has to go to jail, he and Silas, the Philippian jailer, is saved. What a congregation. The church in Philippi started with a woman that was just delivered from demon possession, another wealthy lady from Thyatira, and this rough-hewn jailer that just got saved by the grace of God. What a congregation. Any pastor would be proud to start with that. But it moves on, and that church will be one of the great supporters of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. When everyone else forgot him, the church at Philippi remembered him. From Philippi, he's going to go on to Thessalonica. From Thessalonica to Berea, Berea to Athens, Athens to Corinth, Corinth to Ephesus. As his ministry continues, the great Apostle Paul ministering unto the needs of others, but only in the will of God. Well, he says to these dear believers in Macedonia, I want to come. I want to pass through Macedonia, and I want to come to Corinth. I want to visit with you. I want to see you. But he says, I can't come right now because here at Ephesus, a great and effectual door has opened unto me. He said, it's a huge door. It's a great door. It's an enormous door. I used to know what the population was back in Bible times of the earth. I have long since forgotten what it was. But it was minuscule compared to what we have today, wasn't it? What if Paul were alive today? What if Paul could stand up here and I could say, Paul, did you know that we have over 6 billion people in the world today? Did you know, Paul, that you could have a city of millions of people? Did you know that there are entire countries where the gospel has not been preached, nor a verse of the Bible translated in their language? Not one Bible verse do they have. Not one gospel tract do they have. There are nations of people, some 3 to 4 billion, who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul would tear himself into 100 pieces trying to go everywhere at one time. He said, there's a great door and effectual open to me. And I want to say to you, if there was a great door in the day of the Apostle Paul, there is a much greater door available to us today. How our hearts should be challenged. How our hearts should be moved toward the needs of a lost and a dying world. Who would have thought in the middle of 1989 that we could go to places like Romania and Russia and freely preach the Word of God, give out gospel tracts, and dispense Bibles? Who would have dreamed of such a thing? Who would have dreamed just a year or two ago that 50,000 Arabic New Testaments would be on their way to Jordan, ready to be dispensed among the folks in Iraq? And that 10,000 Bibles are being printed just in one place right now, complete Bibles, to be distributed in Iraq. Who would have dreamed of such a thing? Who would have thought that a Baptist church would be dedicated in Baghdad? Oh, there are some great doors opened unto us. Do you realize God did not give this day to D.L. Moody, nor to Charles Haddon Spurgeon, nor to Billy Sunday? God gave this day to us. He must have had a lot of confidence in us. It'd be a shame for us to let him down. It's so dark and dismal in the world today that the very dimmest light ought to put out a lot. And we should be distinguished from a lost and dying world. A great door, Paul said, is opened unto me and effectual. Paul said, not only is this door large, but he said, if I could get through it, I believe we could see some effect. I believe some things could happen. I believe that we could see some things done. He told the believers in Rome, he said, I long to see you because I want to see some fruit among you also. There are places in the world that you could go today, and if you knew as much gospel as John 3:16 and could tell them what Christ had done in your life, people would get saved. They would believe if you could go with the message. The only reason they died and went to hell today is that no one has ever gone to break through the darkness to take them the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know from childhood I've known the name of Christ? When I was just an infant, my dad would take me to church. My dad was lost. I led my daddy to the Lord when he was 59 years old. He's home with the Lord now. But my daddy took me to church until I was able to go on my own, and then he sent me to church. But he was an unconverted man. But he believed in God. He believed that this book was the Word of God. When you set a Bible down in our home, you didn't put as much as a piece of paper on top of it, because my dad reverenced the Word of God. And he was lost. So from the time that I could remember anything, I could remember the name of Jesus Christ. As far back as I can remember Dad, as far back as I can remember Mom, I can remember the name of Jesus Christ. I wasn't converted, but I knew the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, it's inconceivable almost for me to believe that a man could be born and live his entire lifetime and die and never one time hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet all over the world today it happened. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands were buried like you might bury a dog or a cat, with no hope of eternity, no hope of life. Never one time was the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ turned on so that they might have an opportunity to be saved. Paul said there's a great door and effectual opened unto me. And he said there are many adversaries. And there are. Oh, there are. Will it be easy to go to Palau? No, there will be obstacles. The world, the flesh, the devil will see to it that there will be obstacles. Are there difficulties in learning a new language, in learning a new culture, in moving from your homeland to regions beyond? Of course there are. And oftentimes those adversaries come from very close to you who would discourage you. Why would you take your children to a place like that? But Brother Whetstone, we can't go into all the world. I say, because God thinks we can. If he did not think we could, he would not have commanded us to do it. But there are closed fields. Not really. Not really. There aren't really any closed fields. Because the commander said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. There are places more dangerous than others, but there are none closed. Only difficult. There are many adversaries. There are many who would slow us or stop us if they could. But we fight on. The 10 spies came back and caused the hearts of the people to be melted, and they turned back and went into the wilderness for 40 years of journey. Joshua and Caleb saw the same things. They said, but we're but grasshoppers in their sight. Caleb said, that's right, let's go get them. And I say there are difficulties and discouragements, but we must not allow those things to stop us. We must press forward against the night with the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So he talks to them about money, talks to them about mission, and then he speaks to them concerning men. Look at that 13th verse again. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. That word quit means to act. So he says, watch, wake up, stand fast, firm up, act like men, grow up, be strong, power up. Oh, if we need anything in this generation, it's men who will stand against the foe, who will rise up against the enemy and press into the night. But here's something interesting in the 14th verse. Let all your things be done with charity. Be men, be strong, stand, but let all these things be done in the love of God. Carl Sandburg said of Abraham Lincoln, he's velvet steel. Let all of our labor for God, our watching, our standing, our pressing, our strength, let it be done in the love of God. You say, well, Brother Whetstone, I'm not so talented, or I don't have great abilities, or I'm not like so-and-so. Well, why don't you be like you? You'll be the best you God ever made and the worst anyone else. Paul said, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. How much? He said, as much as in me is. Paul said, okay, I don't have the boldness of Simon Peter, but as much as in me is, I'm going after it. Okay, I don't have the oratorical abilities of Apollos, but as much as in me is, I'm going to do my best. Okay, I don't have the compassion of John the Beloved, but as much as in me is, I will love. Are you willing tonight to say to the Lord, as much as in me is, it's yours, and I will serve you, whether it's here in this local church or if it's in regions beyond. If it's nervous about every word I speak, or with great boldness to stand before crowds, however God can use me, I want to be used of the Lord. And from this day forth, it will not be my great ambition to be like someone else. It'll be my great ambition to be what God wants me to be. And I offer myself to be used of the Lord. It's time. We ceased to curse the darkness and turn the light on. It's time we ceased to hope everyone else would and do it ourselves. There is a lost and dying world that stands in dire need of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, help us not to be so selfish with the precious name that we hold so dear, but help us to be so free to expound it to others. And he said, if I be lifted, I'll draw all men unto me.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Act Like Men by Evangelist Danny Whetstone. It was originally presented in March of 2004 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented in conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.